Hello and welcome to the shadowy home of cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries known as the Within the Mist podcast. We are your hosts, Gary and Goldie Ann. Hello, Goldie Ann.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
Tired.
Well, you've been putting in a lot of late hours at your day job.
Yeah. I really messed up my schedule this week trying to help people out and then mixing it to help myself out. And now I'm working 5 days straight. That's unheard of. No, actually, it was 6 days straight.
And working for me.
Yeah, that's the hardest part.
Ow. I'm a very generous and beloved host and boss.
How much do I get paid?
Gratitude.
Okay.
But I also have some announcements, Goldie Ann.
Yeah?
This is a reminder that Google Podcasts will be shutting down on April 2nd. So if you're listening to our show there, you can always switch to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any number of the other apps that remain. We don't want you to miss out, so please make sure you're switching over. Secondly, I wanted to make the first announcement that also coming in April will be my first full-length fictional novel that I wrote entitled The Cry of the Owl.
It's amazing.
Okay.
I love it. I want it to be a movie.
You want it to be a movie?
Yes.
Well, I got to make it a book first.
It's so good.
All right. As you can tell, I have passed it out to a couple of dependable and friends who are beta reading it for me. And I guess Goldie Ann is already giving it her seal of approval. And I do appreciate my colleagues who are reading through it. And as soon as I get their feedback, I will be posting it up on Amazon, which I expect to be mid-April for you to purchase. So hopefully you all have the same opinion Goldie Ann has.
If they don't, they're wrong.
But first, a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Since you like my books so much, Goldie Ann, I know you also like my jokes.
Oh, God. That doesn't go hand in hand. If you remember, I did not buy the dad joke book.
Oh, that's true. Well, regardless, in preparation for this episode, I had to learn to speak giant.
Giant? How's that work?
Well, it was pretty easy. I just had to use big words.
Jesus. That's why I didn't buy your joke book right there.
But a lot of other people have.
There's a lot of weird people in this world.
And I depend on them every day.
You do.
Well, today's episode contains encounters between military soldiers and a creature that existed in the mountains of Afghanistan. We will also be connecting the story to those of the Bible. We don't want to appear blasphemous, so I will apologize in advance if anyone is offended. I don't claim to be an expert in religion. I am just making ties between this cryptid and what is written in the Bible. We are storytellers of cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries. We don't intend to scare our listeners on purpose.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do. Listener discretion is always advised. On September 11th, 2001, the world was shaken by four coordinated terrorist attacks, also known as 9/11. Al-Qaeda orchestrated these suicide missions against the United States, using four commercial airplanes that 19 terrorists hijacked. The hijackers deliberately flew the first two airplanes into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, located in New York City. The third group targeted the Pentagon, while the fourth plane crashed in a remote area of Pennsylvania after passengers attempted to revolt against the hijackers. The devastating September 11 attacks claimed the lives of 2,977 individuals, making it the deadliest act of terrorism to date. This event also triggered the start of the global war on terror, which resulted in conflicts and interventions in Afghanistan, Iraq, and various other regions. The soldiers who were sent to fight during Enduring Freedom, encountered various threats. But one Special Forces unit faced an unimaginable and terrifying enemy. Prior to this encounter, this creature was only mentioned in biblical texts and rumored government files. So join us today as we explore within the myths of Afghanistan to tell of the Kandahar Giant.
Wow. I've never heard this before.
In the realms of cryptids, it's a little bit newer than some of the others. So story-wise, you may not have heard of it. Chapter 1, Special Forces. It was 2002, and the United States military was amid enduring freedom within Afghanistan in the war against terrorism and the Taliban for the attack on 9/11. The sky was painted in shades of pink and orange, with the first rays of sunlight peeking over the horizon. The light illuminated the rugged terrain of the base, revealing scattered buildings and military vehicles. In the eerie glow, silhouettes of soldiers could be seen going about their duties. The stillness of that early morning was broken only by the distant sound of soldiers starting their day. It was a beautiful and haunting scene, a reminder of the constant danger surrounding those stationed at the Kandahar base. With watchful eyes and a firm grip on his weapon, the squad leader led his elite American Special Forces team through the gritty, sun-baked streets of the installation. These warriors had undergone grueling training and face countless perilous missions, constantly emerging victorious. Each member moved with precision and purpose, and their years of experience were evident in every step and gesture. The air was thick with tension as they approached the helicopter, their senses sharp and alert for danger. Sweat was already beading off of their brows, but their determination never wavered. This was the force to be reckoned with. They were being sent on a mission to venture into the country's remote and isolated corner. Their objective? To locate a missing patrol unit, comrades in arms who had disappeared without a trace. As they prepared to depart, there was a flurry of questions that filled their minds. Had the missing team been ambushed? Or had they gone off-grid on their own accord? It seemed odd that an attack would have occurred without calls for close air support or backup units. And yet, there was no apparent reason for them to disappear from all communication channels so suddenly and for so long. The missing soldiers had not communicated or shown any signs of life. With determination etched on their faces, the squad of Special Forces pressed on, determined to bring their brothers and sisters home safely. The wind howled through the barren landscape as if echoing their uncertainties as they exited the helicopter. They pushed through, united by their sense of duty and loyalty to each other. Once on the ground, the squad quickly organized themselves and began their hike through the barren landscape, heavy backpacks weighing them down. They trudged through the unforgiving terrain, navigating 4 kilometers of rocky hills and valleys in search of the same area where the missing soldiers were supposed to reach one of their checkpoints. The now high sun beat down mercilessly, casting harsh shadows across the land. Dust coated their skin and filled their lungs with each step, but they pressed on, determined to find any trace of their comrades and bring them home. The team descended a steep mountainside, their boots crunching against the loose gravel and rocks. When they reached a sharp bend in the trail, their eyes fell upon an unexpected sight, the gaping mouth of a cave. Its entrance littered with freshly disturbed boulders and debris. There were signs of recent activity, sending a sense of unease through the squad. It was clear that something or someone had opened this cavern. But for what purpose? As they inched closer, their eyes locked onto strange objects scattered across the ground. The shapes were too familiar to ignore. Bones. But what kind of creature did these bones belong to? The group squinted, hoping for some recognition or clue, but it was useless. Amongst the jumbled mess lay a piece of communications equipment, its wires and circuits twisted and broken. It seemed out of place, like a modern artifact lost in a primitive world. It was obvious that this belonged to the missing squad team. The Special Forces members' curiosity were piqued, but also aware of danger. They knew they had to tread carefully. Military training was immediately heightened, and instincts were on high alert. They could feel the tension in the air, a palpable fear gripping them as they moved closer and closer towards the cave. It was now clear to them that the other team had been caught off guard, possibly by an ambush set up by another group or even a wild animal lurking within the dark depths of the cave. Each step forward was taken with caution and readiness for any possible danger that may lie ahead. A small clearing in front of the cave provided space and enough room for the team to gather. The ground was hard and covered in debris, contrasting against the dark rock walls of the cave. But just beyond this patch of dirt, beyond the cave opening, lay a treacherous drop-off, where the ground gave way to a sharp cliff that plunged into an unknown depths below. One small step meant disaster. The clearing was able to provide ample space for the soldiers to spread out, forming a solid dispersal in case of another ambush. The rocky terrain surrounding them offered both shelter and dangers, with shadows moving like elusive enemies. Each member was on high alert, ready to defend himself at a moment's notice. They waited in silence, their weapons ready. It was a precarious position, but their years of training prepared them for a scenario just like this. A towering figure, at least 12 to 15 feet tall, emerged from the mouth of the cave. It was humanoid and had hair and beard of a fiery red color, trailing past its broad shoulders in wild, unkempt tangles. Its muscular arms and legs were adorned with deep scars, evidence of past battles. The humanoid's hands and feet were more prominent than any human's, with six fingers and six toes on each limb. But what was generally even more unnerving was that the nails were coated in a strange fungus that made them pointed and twisted, appearing even more menacing, like the claws of an animal. Despite its seemingly human-like appearance, the monster's imposing figure emitted an undeniable aura of danger and ferocity. Its eyes glowed with intense ferocity as it stared down at the team of soldiers, daring anyone to challenge its dominance. As it opened up its mouth in a roar, there were two set of teeth above and below its jawline.
What do you mean?
There would be one row of teeth, and immediately behind that would be a second row of teeth.
Oh, Lord.
Much like you would see in a shark.
Awesome.
And scary.
Well, that's awesome.
With determination, Dan, a young soldier with a fierce fire burning in his gut, charged towards the monstrous creature. His rifle was held high and at the ready, its weight providing a sense of security as he prepared to face the giant ahead. Adrenaline surged through his veins, amplifying the soldier's steps towards his target. He knew that he was ready for this moment, and now it was time to show what he was made of. And with each stride, his resolve strengthened, and his mind focused solely on taking down the huge, monstrous threat before them. The other soldiers quickly snapped out of their stunned state and followed suit, their weapons raised in unison. Like a well-oiled machine, their training kicked in and they engaged with the towering figure before them. Sweat dripped down their brows as they pushed forward, firing and their determination driving them onward. Amidst the gunfire, Dan sprinted across the bone-littered terrain, using every bit of cover he could find. Bullets whizzed past him as he closed in on his target. Meanwhile, fellow soldiers provided suppressing fire from nearby, their shots echoing through the chaos of the battlefield. The giant seemed uninfected and loomed over them, wielding a long metallic pike. In one swift motion, he lunged forward and impaled Dan with his weapon, lifting the man off of the ground like a rag doll.
Rude.
The rest of the squad continued to fire, but their bullets seemed to have no effect. As the men scattered, Dan hung lifeless on the end of the pike, a gruesome warning for anyone who dared challenge the giant. One of the men's voices boomed above the chaos. "Shoot it in the face," he ordered. "Shoot it in the face."
Rude.
His words were barely audible over the screams and gunfire. The rest of the team fired relentlessly, the entire conflict only taking about 30 seconds as their guns rattled until they became empty, round after round into the giant. It let out a deafening roar and continued to move towards them, determined to kill them all. Finally, after pouring all of their ammunition into it, the red-haired monster fell to the ground, its lifeless body still twitching from the onslaught of gunfire.
So you just answered your own question. So, the whole reason giant-like figure was so evil was because they had red hair. They had no soul.
A topic for a different discussion, but I guess you do have an argument there.
Sorry, Ryan. I love you.
Well, tragically, it was unmistakably clear that Dan's life had come to a sudden and violent end. His limp body was now still impaled by the enormous pike protruding through his chest.
Damn.
The once lively and spirited man was now nothing more than a lifeless shell, his eyes staring blankly at the sky above. It was a gruesome sight that would haunt those who witnessed it for years. One of the soldiers frantically spoke into his radio, reciting a series of numbers and letters in a steady cadence. He repeated louder the second time, as if trying to be heard over chaos. It was a desperate nine-line medevac, which is a call for a medical evacuation. Out of nowhere, the deafening sound of helicopter blades cut through the air. Before them stood a massive precipice, a towering rock face. The helicopter slowly approached the edge, rising up from the depths of the draw below. It descended rapidly from behind the mountain, startling the men with its sudden appearance. It was as if it had been waiting on standby just over the mountaintop, ready to swoop in immediately upon call. It hovered above, and netting was dropped down. The Special Forces soldiers were instructed to gather the netting around the enormous wild man, and the pilots shouted into the radios requiring a larger Chinook to be called in.
What's a Chinook?
If you can imagine a helicopter, and then you extend it so it's like a flying bus.
Oh, wow.
That's a Chinook.
Okay.
The rocky terrain below made finding a suitable landing spot challenging for any heavy aircraft. While they were waiting for the helicopter, the team struggled to fit the gargantuan creature into the heavy-duty netting, its massive size and weight making it nearly impossible to handle. The members grunted and strained as they tried to lift it, but it remained stubbornly rooted to the ground. And after a great deal of effort, they had finally secured the corpse into the mesh.
Wow.
According to one of the soldiers, the giant emitted a putrid stench, a combination of decaying flesh mixed with a skunk's sharp, musky odor. The smell was almost overpowering and seemed to linger in the air, clinging to everything it touched. It made the soldiers' stomach turn and their eyes water, causing them to struggle even more as they worked to lift the enormous body. The larger aircraft came into view and its massive body hovered above the cave entrance before finally dropping its metal hook downwards towards the squad. The Special Forces team quickly attached it to the netting that held the large deceased creature. And with a whirling noise, the helicopter lifted off, taking the monstrous being away for further analysis. As they watched it disappear in the distance, the team climbed aboard their helicopter to report to headquarters about their successful mission. A message was urgently transmitted, alerting the headquarters to the presence of the massive, presumably humanoid creature. The team was a mix of excitement and sadness. Excitement at encountering such a rare being, and sadness at the loss of a highly respected member of their team. As if that wasn't enough, the special squad leader was instructed to revise their after-action report to omit any mention of the towering red-haired entity that they had encountered. It was as if someone wanted to keep this incredible discovery hidden from the world. Did the United States military know about these beings and called in the Special Forces unit, knowing that they would be involved in a battle for their very lives? Conspiracy theorists promoting the story prompted the fact-checking outlet Snopes to investigate in 2016. To the surprise of none, bewildered Pentagon officials told them that they had no record of such an incident, nor the death of any Dan during that time period.
Of course, they always cover up because, you know, that's what they do. Area 51!
So this would be the Afghanistan version of Area 51?
Yeah, but a lot cooler.
A lot cooler?
Yeah. You know my stance on aliens.
Oh, that's true. You're not a fan of aliens.
No.
Chapter 2, The Giant of Kunar. The assault between the Kandahar giant and the Special Forces soldiers was not the only incidents of encountering giants within Afghanistan by military members. There have been many more reported since that story broke.
Wow.
One such case involved an experienced infantry team leader who was deployed with the army in Afghanistan's rugged and dangerous Kunar province from 2008 to 2009.
I think Cameron was there.
I was going to ask you where Cameron was actually stationed there.
Yeah. Wonder if he saw any giants.
You'd have to ask him.
Nope.
But meanwhile, it was on one moonlit night, a platoon set out on an observation patrol, tasked with overlooking a small village that had been the source of multiple improvised explosive devices, IEDs, attacks. The team was on high alert as they crept through the dark terrain, their eyes scanning every shadow for potential threats. As they knew one wrong move could mean disaster, they had to be careful at all times. Despite the risks, they were determined to complete their mission and protect their fellow soldiers from harm. The lieutenant handed the team leader a sleek, black, handheld device with buttons and screens that beeped and blinked with unfamiliar symbols. take this Recon 3 thermal imaging system and figure out its functions, he said. Then teach the other team leaders what you discover. He was given night vision goggles.
Nice.
The soldier's fingers flew across the buttons of the night vision goggles and his eyes glued to the screen as he tested its capabilities. He was pleasantly surprised by the crystal clear zoom on the device, allowing him to see every detail of the village down below, even in total darkness. Lost in fascination, he spent hours tinkering with the different functionalities and observing the happenings of the bustling village. From people going about their daily routines to children playing in the streets, he could see it all through the lens of this miraculous technology. His gaze finally wandered across the valley, away from the village. He couldn't resist the urge to explore further, his eyes tracing the path of a rocky spur that jutted out from the surrounding landscape. As he followed the contours of the land with his eyes and the night goggles, there was a sense of amazement at the clarity that beckoned him towards new discoveries. His eyes fixed on the infrared screen, searching for any signs of life in the dark, mountainous terrain. He spotted a massive heat signature at the top of one of the false peaks. His heart raced as he zoomed in, trying to capture a clear image. There was an outline of figures appearing, huddled together around a faint light, their heat signatures glowing brightly against the cool backdrop of the mountain. The team leader recognized this tactic. It was a group of Taliban seeking warmth and comfort in the unforgiving landscape.
Uh-oh.
Well, even worse, and without warning, that heat signature rose from its crouch position, and it wasn't a group of men, but one that stood tall as if it was one entity.
Come at me, bro.
The towering trees in this particular area reach a height of 10 to 12 feet. Yet, the team leader could tell that this being was easily the same size, if not taller than its surroundings. The silhouette was glowing within the night vision goggles against the dark backdrop, casting an eerie glow of its massive form. With each step, the creature moved parallel to the soldier, its long legs covering ground with a powerful grace. Its stride was steady and rhythmic, yet it carried the beast forward with incredible speed. Darkness didn't seem to hinder it, and the soldier couldn't help but feel small compared to this towering monster. Its size alone was enough to cause him to misbelieve his eyes. This was no ordinary being. It was a true giant amongst beasts. It moved with astonishing speed, traversing the landscape in a matter of seconds, and the team leader's eyes strained to keep up with it as it disappeared over a neighboring spur. He had to rub his eyes and blink several times, unable to believe what he had just witnessed. It was something beyond anything he had ever seen. In all of his years of experience, he had never encountered such a phenomenon. The team leader carried the burden of his experiences of that night, unable to share them with anybody. Even after returning home, he kept the secret to himself, convinced that no one would believe what he had seen. The veteran felt isolated and alone in his memories of that giant, haunted by the vivid images that only he had witnessed that night. However, in 2010, he stumbled upon a captivating story on Coast to Coast about the elusive giant of Kandahar. The tale stirred up vivid recollections of his past military service. It caused him to reflect on other peculiar occurrences during that deployment. The story he heard was about a giant described as having fire orange hair, and the team leader couldn't help but think back of a local tradition that the locals in his sightings would follow. The team leader had noticed that villagers had a peculiar tradition of dyeing their hair and even their goat's fur a bright orange color from time to time. No one knew the origins of this custom, but it had been passed down for generations. As they went about their chores and errands, streaks of orange could be seen peeking out from their turbans. Even the goats seemed to prance around with extra energy, their dyed coats glimmering in the sunlight. It was a sight that never failed to bring a look of confusion to the soldier's face, even if he couldn't quite understand its reasoning. Occasionally, they would go through this ritual, and just as suddenly as it appeared, the orange color would vanish from the goats and the people's hair.
That's weird.
The team leader agreed and wondered if this was a cultural custom that he simply just didn't understand. Now, however, he wondered if the goats were offerings to the mysterious creature. Were the villagers dyeing their hair orange to show their connection to the giant to be left alone? The team leader couldn't shake the feeling that he, as an outsider, an intruder witnessing something sacred and primal, was this some kind of twisted sacrifice performed in the name of this powerful giant being? He couldn't deny there was a sense of danger that hung in the air back then, like a heavy cloak weighing him down. The eyewitness held strong Christian beliefs, and he often referenced passages from the Bible. One such passage mentioned the, quote, men of renown, a race of giants said to be descended from fallen angels. He was convinced that what he saw that night was one of these ancient beings, also known as the Nephilim.
Nephilim.
So who or what are the Nephilim?
Exactly.
You've never heard of this term?
No.
In all of your Sunday school days?
No.
Okay.
What the heck?
Well, chapter 3, Fallen Ones.
Okay, you just totally missed one. You should have said chapter 3, the Nephilim. Is it anything like a puffalump?
It is not like a heffalump. And I will reiterate, I am not an expert on the Bible. This is just what I've been able to pull in connections about the Kandahar giant and the Bible. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it does reveal the existence of Nephilim, a term that translates to fallen ones in English. These mysterious beings were said to be born from the union between divine creatures, known as the sons of God, and human women, daughters of Adam. So basically you have angels and women of earth having children.
That's gross. Or that's weird.
Hence why we have Nephilim now.
Okay.
And in the ancient texts, the Nephilim are often depicted as formidable warriors and towering giants, their size and strength unmatched by mortal men. Genesis 6, Ezekiel 32, and Numbers 13 are passages that mention the Nephilim by that term. Ezekiel described them as, quote, they are not buried in honor like their fallen heroes, who went down to the grave with their weapons, their shields covering their bodies and their swords beneath their heads. Their guilt rests upon them because they brought terror to everyone while they were still alive. Scripture once blamed the existence of the powerful Nephilim for the catastrophic flood that washed over the land, and that the great flood was an attempt to wipe them from existence. The mere mention of the Nephilim evoked fear and disdain amongst those who believed this story. Their otherworldly origins and mighty strength had earned them a notorious reputation throughout ancient history. Numbers, chapter 13, explains that the Lord had brought the children of Israel through the wilderness to a place near the land that He had promised to give them if they were faithful to Him. The Israelites were sent to investigate the lands and the people who inhabited them. What did they see?
Giants!
According to verses in Numbers 13, quote, "And they spread amongst the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there were of great size.' There they saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim. And they seemed to them themselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them."
Yeah.
So here there was a whole land of giants. Many have even debated the true origins of the infamous Goliath, the towering giant at the heart of the beloved biblical tale, David and Goliath.
Well, see, I was a preschool Sunday school teacher, so yes, I know that story.
Okay. Well, there are some who are suggesting that Goliath was a Nephilim, or at least a descendant from Nephilims, because some theories suggest that he may have been one. However, closer examinations of the Bible, there's no concrete evidence that supports this claim. The text remains silent on Goliath's lineage, leaving his origins shrouded in mystery and open to different interpretations.
Yeah, that's the whole Bible. Well, all open to interpretations.
Goliath may have been the most famous biblical giant, but he is not the only one mentioned in scriptures. The ancient text is filled with references to towering figures, including Nimrod, a powerful king who led his nation of giants constructing the infamous Tower of Babel. His colossal size was matched only by his ambition and influence over his people. So based on these examples, giants roamed the lands of the Middle East for as long as time, and based on military soldiers stationed there, they still do.
See, now you're just bringing back memories, because Nimrod, I know that one.
Did you remember Nimrod as a giant?
Yes.
See? The story of the Kandahar giant first came to public attention in 2008 during an episode of the radio show Coast to Coast. Then, there was a YouTube video of an interview with the eyewitness, where the voice was modified to disguise the identity. Nick Orton had collected multiple eyewitness accounts of giants by military service members, to include the Giant of Kunar. Orton had created the Tales from the Grid Square just for these purposes.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't dismiss it. I mean, it is all a lot of fairy tales.
Well, these are stories with military soldiers.
Yeah, well, I've met those military soldiers before.
Hey, you married one. In case you forgot.
I don't know. I mean, see, that's me. You put the military behind it, and it just makes it believable.
Especially when you have a quote-unquote eyewitness who is a military member who is spilling the beans. And if that's the case, then did the government take the body for study?
They took the aliens, so why not?
Well, conspiracy theorists would definitely believe that. So in closing, the desert sun still beats down on the deployed soldiers as they trek through the rugged landscape of Afghanistan. This land has seen many soldiers over centuries who have spent most of their adult lives fighting in the name of religion. Many have heard rumors of giants roaming the deserts of Afghanistan, stories passed down from generation to generation. Most have always dismissed these tales as myths and legends, or as Goldie Ann puts it, fairy tales. However, as more eyewitnesses come forward, you can't help but wonder if there is some truth to these ancient stories.
Exactly.
Perhaps these giants symbolize a different kind of truth, one that transcends human conflicts and politics. Maybe they remind us that there is more to nature than what we have seen so far. You can't help but feel a sense of wonder. Before we end this episode, I want to remind you that we are active on social media such as Facebook and Instagram. We would be thrilled to hear your opinions about the Kandahar Giant. Don't hesitate to share your stories and opinions with us. We are also have an email at withinthemistpodcast@gmail.com for any of you who would like to write and share. We really hope you enjoyed our story about the Kandahar Giant. Come back next week for more about cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries. In the meantime, watch for giant shadows in the caves and remain constantly curious. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, guys.